All right, brothers and sisters, we're getting back into the book of Ephesians. We're in the fourth chapter this evening. And as you're turning there, let us rejoice how we left off with the vocation. And that is our calling, and I'm thankful. It is the calling out to all of God's precious people, brothers and sisters. God would have this for everyone. As we know in the Word of God, He said, I would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge. And that word knowledge is complete, exact, full, an intimate knowledge beyond that, as of a man and wife with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we know that this is being called out to all. And in that vocation we read, to walk worthy of it. And what is that vocation? Again, I just rejoice. It's the divine invitation. And it is a divine invitation. All spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ is mighty divine. And praise be to God, the children of the King have all been given that provision, every bit of it. The divine invitation to embrace the salvation of God. Now, a lot of people just kind of throw that off. Say, oh, well, I'm saved. That's wonderful. And let us never cease to rejoice the moment that we gave our hearts to God, that we took Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When we knew in our hearts, Lord, by your death upon that cross for my sins and that shedding of blood, when we said, I freely accept your everlasting life. I know I didn't deserve a bit of it, and praise be to God for his grace. But at that very moment, brothers and sisters, the salvation of God embraced you. It did. It embraced you. At that very moment, the salvation of God embraced you. Never to let you go. You became his child. We became his sons. He told us, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Whosoever believeth in me doth not commit sin. See, if you don't understand the grace of God, you're looking around and saying, well, but I know her. And I know him. And more importantly, you know what? I know me. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. And why? Why is that? Because of his life. Isn't that wonderful? His precious life. I've had so many often come to me and say, brother, you best not preach that. That's the word of God. Well, you know, brother, if you start telling people how free they are, they're going to take advantage of it. I want you to take advantage of it. I want you to take full advantage of it. Because if you'll embrace that wondrous salvation and how free you are in Christ Jesus, you will want to live for Him. He will cause you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He'll turn it on in your life. By the grace of God, we serve Him. By the grace of God, He liveth in me. Oh, what the grace of God does in our lives. And we thank Him, brothers and sisters, that it is, as we've been reading, it's us in Christ, and never to be separated from that salvation. But you see that we have been extended an offer now to embrace back the salvation of God. Not only has it been embracing me ever since, like I told you, maybe it was 4 or 5, I don't really know. I just know pretty much from things that I could know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my personal Savior. And I'm so grateful to God. I'm thankful for my sons. I remember my youngest. He was wrestling a little bit with that. I felt that the Lord had put a desire in his heart to ask Jesus Christ into his heart. And he's an ornery little one. He's a lot like his mother. But now he's really like his dad, but you know that. I remember he would kind of fuss, and you'd tell him something. Oh, well, honey, don't you want to bow down and give your heart to the Lord and ask Jesus in your heart? And he'd just be quiet. He'd kind of look at you like this and everything. One night I was tucking him in, and he had the funniest expression on his face. And I remember it was just a glowing little face. And I looked at him and said, Evan, what's up with you? He said, Daddy, I asked Jesus into my heart. And it was real. It was there. He became, at that moment, a child of the King. Every bit set, praise God, to grow up into him in all things. And I remember what a sweet time that was to embrace my son and to think, praise God, we're in the family of God together. How beautiful that moment was. But now we have been invited the divine invitation to embrace the salvation of God. And brothers and sisters, the Lord has prepared a Bible study for us tonight, and we are really going to go into Scripture. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading from the 11th verse. And it says there, if by any means, this is Brother Paul speaking, and he says, if by any means, any way possible, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is Paul who had been following Jesus and just so encouraged of the things of God for so many years of his life. He wasn't talking about salvation. He knew that he was seated in the heavens in Christ. He knew that his citizenship was in heaven. But there was something he was praying, Lord, let me attain. If by any means, whatever it's going to take, God, get it done in my life. He wanted this out resurrection. He wanted this resurrection out from among the body. He wanted to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and we know this, and God is calling this to us as well too. Come out from among them. And as though, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend. Here it is, brothers and sisters. He's talking about apprehending the salvation of God. To really embrace Him and embrace the salvation of God. Jesus Christ as bridegroom. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's that salvation that embraces Him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I got to get rid of that. Praise God. All of the trophies or all of the failures, they're behind. And reaching forth today unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And oh my goodness, to think, brothers and sisters, the likes of you and me, how simple this calling is. But how many people really do adhere and want to embrace the salvation of God? Do you realize how blessed you are? Not because you come to this meeting, not because you live in Denver, Colorado, not because of anything except the message that is continuing to reach out to win Him. To win Him. And that is it. To win Him. And the oneness, brothers and sisters, that this brings. And we rejoiced in that in verses 2 and 3 last week. And to think it is that unity. The unity in the Spirit. It's so wonderful. The oneness that we have in Christ. And to think of this is the Holy Spirit and what He does in us. Let's go over to John chapter 16. Because I want us to think of this wondrous Holy Spirit, this wondrous unity that He is bringing into our lives and what was done there. And in John chapter 16, and we'll begin reading from verse 12. And again, this is Jesus speaking to His disciples, those ones that had been with Him for 3 years. John even, that had been laying his head upon his breast. And Jesus says, now listen, I have yet many things to say unto you. But ye cannot bear them now. You can't understand them. You couldn't even get there. Your mind can't bring this to you. You need power from up on high. Howbeit, and here it is, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Oh no, He's not going to speak of Himself. But so whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. And how wonderful that is. Now turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And continue on with this wonderful thought of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And praise God, this unity that He brings in communion with the Word of God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, we could have read that, and we could have all been satisfied and oohed and awed and said, well, that's wonderful. This God really loves us, and this is an amazing thing. But He has a plan. He's got a purpose. And He's got one that can bring it to pass in our lives, and that is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now listen to this. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, isn't that exciting? To know that and how freely they are given to us, brothers and sisters. How amazing. So not only does He take and He give and He shows us all these things, but He makes it known, if you want to know it, that you have been given all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And you do need to know it. Just because you've been given something doesn't mean that you appreciate it yet. You've got to grow up. It's like that baby that's born to the king and the queen. He might be the only son. He is the heir. He is the one. But as a baby, he's not going to understand a bit of that. As a little rascal, he might go out there and play in one of the dirt pens. Still with a crown on his head, he might even get out there with the animals in the barn. But once he grows up, he'll understand. If he'll grow up, what I'm inheriting. And all by grace. I was just born into it. I didn't do a thing. It was all Him. Do you see the types and the shadows of just the life that we live, brothers and sisters? God is gracious. He knows what He's doing. It is a perfect plan. Perfect plan. So, not only all truth, not only, yea, the deep things of God, but you know He promised us in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Isn't that just awesome? To know the love of God that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. And see, we can do that. And see, with that now, I believe, by His grace, we can venture in to the seven ones. See, with that, brothers and sisters, you can go on to what is called spiritual perfection. Now, see, a lot of folks will hear that, spiritual perfection. So that means now, how high do I carry my Bible under my arm when I'm walking around? You see what I'm saying? Do you see how idiotic that is? That has nothing to do with anything. When you accepted Christ as Savior, He gave you His life. I was sharing with a sweet sister the other day. Again, the DNA of God was given to you. The very life of His Son came to live. You died. Get over it. Rejoice in it. You're done. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in you. If you're a child of God, Christ liveth in you. That's the life that you have. Now, going on to spiritual perfection in the Word of God, that word perfection means to mature and to grow up. To grow up. Paul even had to chastise many a Christian. Oh, why are you acting like children? You should be teaching this stuff. Now, I got to take you all the way back and start feeding you on milk again. Huh? When you should be eating meat. I want a full set of teeth. I like to eat. And I want to eat all that's on that king's buffet. Every bit of it. And He wants me to too. And it's all good. It's all beyond good. But here we go. The seven ones is we're going to get into tonight. That causes us to be in the bonds of peace. Isn't that wonderful? You know, Lord, captivate me. Captivate me. Throw me into that dungeon of peace. It's kind of strange, isn't it? But that's what it is. I can't really explain it. I got the peach here. Pass it around by the grace of God. I can't tell you what it tastes like. You're going to have to eat it. And then you couldn't explain it either. But by the grace of God, you can just live the joy of it. And maybe by the grace of God, somebody sees, you know, there's a life there that I don't have. And I love to see that kind of life. All right, so let's go back to Ephesians. You didn't know we were actually studying there, did you now? And we'll pick it up from the fourth verse. And we'll just read 4-6 tonight. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now remember this. You know, you can't just go reading this and saying, well, look at that. God's in everybody. God is not in everybody. You have to know the things about the Word of God. Who is speaking, who is being spoken to, and what is being spoken about. Brother Paul is speaking, and he is speaking to the saints at Ephesus. And let me tell you something. These saints, and if you're not a saint unless you're born again, unless you've accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, but these just aren't just baby Christians. These are wonderful, encouraged, fervent, Holy Ghost-filled brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's speaking to them in this, and this oneness going on to perfection. These are some saints that are very well mature, but Paul's even telling them, brothers and sisters, there's much the more here. Let's never stop. Just like Brother Paul said in Philippians, we already read. Not that I've already apprehended, but I'm telling you what, I'm pressing on towards that mark to apprehend him. And by grace, through faith, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to happen, and we're so thankful to that. But the first one is, brothers and sisters, one body. Not many bodies, not even two bodies, but one body. And we see this all the time. Man's attempt to unite, to bring together, to organize. And what does that cause? Not any type of unity. It causes division. And great division. It divides things. There's schism in whatever man tries to do. And that schism is a division. But in Christ, brothers and sisters, in His Word, there is no division. And I believe it's always best to answer the Word of God with the Word of God. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read some more of this wonderful invitation. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12... and we'll start reading from verse 12. Let's read about this body. And the Lord knows that we're a weak and a feeble people. And we're very forgetful. So time and time again throughout the Word of God, you know what? He brings it into remembrance, doesn't he? At least for dummies like me. So that we can continue on. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll begin reading from verse 12. For as the body is one. So in case you didn't get it the first time over there, we'll bring it back again. For the body is one, and hath many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And that's such a beautiful thing to always remember, brothers and sisters. It's just like our wonderful bodies that He's given us. Aren't you thankful that everything's not a finger? It really couldn't do much, could it? It really wouldn't be that attractive in a lot of ways either. You know what I'm saying? But I've got fingers, I've got hands, I've got legs, I've got a mind, I've got all these things that I can do with this wonderful, glorious body that God has given me. Now, how much more so His body, His forever glorious body, and all of the things, and how the joints supply one another, brothers and sisters. And it is His grace, it's His glory, it's His Word that encourages us to fulfill all of the things that He wants. And it is beautiful. That's why we're not robots. We're not just cast in one type of a thing. My goodness, there's a nose there, and there's an eye over there, and there's a hand over there. And do you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? It brings us all into that oneness. And it's perfect unity. If you've ever seen slow motion pictures of a body when it's running, those wonderful athletes, and really I love to watch the basketball players because it's always moving so fast. But when they just slow it down and everything, I used to watch Michael Jordan kind of coming through. It looked like that one great ballet man. You know, he was just flying through there, and every piece of his body was just in such harmony. It was perfect. And you know why? Because it was tempered. It was trained. Yeah. Praise God. That's what He does. I could get excited about this. I'll love of God constrain me. 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now that's going to be hitting us tonight on this one baptism. We're going to read this again. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is that therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were smelling, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, that's where we need to rest individually. That, you know what, God's got us right where we need to be, and be still and know that He is God. Really, He set you. Don't try to be what you're not. My daddy always would say to me growing up, son, just be who you are. Now I'll finish that out. Be who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. And it was such a truth to my life. Don't try to be anybody else. And I'm not just saying this in a trite way. You are perfectly special, incredible. Just is exactly what Christ has made you. And if you'll just grow in that, I'm telling you, it's a masterpiece in the waiting. Just hang in there by the grace of God. Let Him hold you in it. Praise His name. But here we go. 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of thee. See, that would just, I mean, you can see how foolish that talk would be. Well, how much more so when we're talking of one another? We are needed. God needs us. He does. He wants our praise. He wants our worship. We're vessels prepared afore unto glory. And that's how God has made that. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow a more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. That means no divisions in the body. He doesn't want divisions in this because He didn't make it that way. And plus, you can't divide it anyways. You think you are, you're acting up. But there's no schism in His body. No, there just isn't. There's one. There's a unity in Him. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And that's a big one too. Do you see how many messages are in this? And I don't mean to belabor the point, but read that last. Should have the same care one for another. Now go back to that sermon about like. Well, I love her, but I don't like her. We gotta get way past that. I like Jesus. Do you like Jesus? I really like Jesus. Isn't that the life that each and every one of God's children has? Okay. Enough said. Amen. Let's get over it. Praise God. All right. So, in that, brothers and sisters, we need to also get over. There's not a whole bunch of denominations in Christ, are there? Huh? I always appreciated that story about that man that had that smaller church across the way, and that preacher kind of would puff his chest a little bit, and he did, well, brother, how many people do you have in your church? Well, he said, well, I don't know how many you have in yours, because I got to count them too. Amen. Amen. Okay. It's His church. It's His church. It's His body, brothers and sisters. There is a wonderful oneness that we need to embrace here. That all are His children. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. It goes on to say there's neither male nor female. And I'm so thankful. I was rejoicing again today how we had a pastor, and I mentioned it to a sister. He didn't try to isolate groups of people. He didn't do that. And even down to the point of, okay, well, I'm just going to preach to the women here and the men. And don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful that the ladies can have their fellowship and the men can have their fellowship. There's a need in that. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is for everybody. It's for everybody. Okay? There's no respecter of person with Christ. And everybody needs every bit of this Word. It's not something we can just pick and choose out of. It's a oneness. It's the whole counsel of God, just like the body is one. So, I've got to stay with this or my goodness where it's going to go. But we are one in Christ. Now, let's move along. Going back to Ephesians, we're back into now one Spirit. So one body and one Spirit. So there is but one Holy Spirit. And this Spirit only dwells in one place, brothers and sisters. One place. It dwells in the church, in the body. Christ Jesus sent the Comforter. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I must go away so the Comforter can come. And to finish this wonderful, it is finished, but there's this more growth and the things that God saw that He wanted. And what He really wants, the epitome of it, is that wife for His Son. And this Comforter is this one that brings us into all of that truth. But He departed to the right hand of God. And as we read, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, only speaks of and professes one thing, and that's Christ Jesus. And I want you just to turn with me as well. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And when we studied through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I thought it was a precious time to get in here and have that word just really wash us. But it says there, beloved, believe not every spirit. And we know there's only one spirit. But see, there are these spirits that'll come. See, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, I was brought up under this word to understand, to know this. And it was brought up to my attention many years back that there's many counterfeit money that flies around this world. And there's so many counterfeits that the guy who was the expert of experts, somebody was asking him and saying, now, how do you know if it's a counterfeit? I mean, there's so many counterfeits. Do you study all of these counterfeits? And the guy laughed. He said, my goodness, no. Nobody could. And there's a new one out every other day. A new one. Well, how do you know if it's a counterfeit? I know the original. I know what this says. And the word said, rightfully divide this word, understand this word, know this word. So when these things appear, and there's spirits that appear that sound so good. Let me tell you something. This flesh wants to feel anything good. I'm still in love with that story. How God took the most weak creature there ever could be, me. I'll speak of just me. It's actually mankind. And He stuck us on a planet, on a world, where the prince and the power of this very world is none other than Satan himself. Against all odds, this flesh is weak. But praise be to God, there's a willing spirit. Amen. Amen. This flesh couldn't even figure out for one moment how to yield to that spirit. But God took care of that. Because He gave us grace. He gave us the grace. He gave us the grace to yield. He gave us the grace to believe. He gave us the grace to come, to want to worship, to grow up into Him in all things. And see, when we know the freedom that blood has already washed me and cleansed me and how free I am, then all I can really focus on at that time is love. Man, I love you, Jesus. I'm starting to see how much you love me. And when you focus on love, that's a good thing. And you can grow in love because that's the grace of God. And it's just wonderful how that grows us up. But it's a precious thing, brothers and sisters. But know this, there are many wolves that are in sheep's clothing. Know that. And they're out there to try to deceive. And the enemy, it says very clearly, I'm out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all I'm out there to do. It's evident. And we're not unaware of the devil's devices. We are in a time, brothers and sisters, of every wind of doctrine. Oh, you didn't like this today? Well, you can go down the street and hear this, and then you can go down the street and hear that. Okay. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Anything else? Verse 3 tells you, Antichrist. See, people getting really weird about, oh, is that the Antichrist? Is that the Antichrist? Well, let me tell you something. There are a lot of Antichrist out there right now. Anything that doesn't profess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and that He is the Word. And the Word was with God. Praise God. And I'm just so thankful about that Word. And the Word is God, and it's just so wonderful, brothers and sisters. How simple that is. How simple that is. But we want to make things hard. That's just our nature, isn't it? All right, moving along. One hope. One hope, brothers and sisters. There is only one confidence. And that confidence is not in me. And that confidence is not in you. And that confidence is not in a man or a system. It's in one thing, and that's in Christ. Romans 8:24 tells us that we are even saved by hope. And I'll read that to you. It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why would he hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." Now, I believe faith's got written all over that. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Word of God has to get in there to work anything like that in my life, brothers and sisters. But you see, if our hope is not in anything but Christ, anything but His plan, anything but His Word, you're wasting your time. You have a bag full of holes. And at the end of the day, you'll have nothing. But if it's in Christ and His gospel, and we're going to take time and go over there, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. Yeah, Colossians 1:23, and let's read this. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. And this is something here. Now listen to this. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now that's some deep stuff there. Praise God. This is it, isn't it? This is it. Romans 2:16 says, even about Paul's gospel, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We're without excuse. Mankind is without excuse. This Word, praise God, in its fullness, it is here. It's been preached to all, and God says this is it. And that leads us right into one faith. One faith. And how simple that is. But see, people want to go round and round with that. I'll listen to people, and I'll just tell you this. There's many religions out there. There are many beliefs out there. But don't you fall into that trap. There is but one faith. That's it. That's it. And that's faith in Jesus Christ. One faith. Galatians chapter 2. Isn't it fun just to continue to bounce around in Paul's epistles? Oh, praise the Lord. But in Galatians chapter 2. Knowing that a man, really listen to this. This just kind of just keeps working this grace deeper and deeper in our lives. Knowing that a man is not. In case there ever was a question, how you were justified. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See, just in case you thought it came another way to Brother Paul or somebody else, it's the same way. We are justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Listen to that. Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You go down to verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. See, I love to read this because this is what happened to each and every one of God's children the moment they gave their heart to Christ. So this is who you are. This is what we can always go back to. You can say, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul knew that. He said that. But God would always bring him back to Galatians 2:20. Isn't that wonderful? He'd say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And oh, that's just and beyond precious and beyond amazing there. And then you can just go right back over to Ephesians where we already studied in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Listen to this. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Did you realize that? You didn't save yourself. It wasn't anything about you. It was all about Him and His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll read it right there for you. For we are His workmanship. I'm not even my own workmanship. And God knows I don't want to be my workmanship. And I don't want to be your workmanship. No offense. But you'll mess it up too. It's God. Praise the Lord. We are His workmanship. And His workmanship of one thing. Grace. Grace, 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 grace. All right. Timothy. Paul tells him. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's why it's so important to train them up in the way that they should go. All right? And continue to train. Praise the Lord. But that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. One faith. All right. Now, one Lord, and this is so wonderful, brothers and sisters, and we're going to go back to one faith here in just a minute as well, too, but I want to talk about the one Lord as well. And this is the one headship. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Christ Jesus. What is it so hard to understand? Why is it so hard? There's no interference here. The only interference there's going to be is my unbelief, isn't it? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He rent that veil in twain. And at that moment, all I can hear him say is, now, son, get in here. Get in here. I want you. Now, I loved that high priest that would come in here and too, and I loved all that. But I want you. I want you to come in here. I want fellowship with you. I want you to see me face to face as a familiar friend. Lord, speak to you like that. I pray. You know he is. It's just His Word. It's just His Word, brothers and sisters. And, you know, it comes down to it. Are you going to accept it or not? He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? So I believe that He is. And I'm so thankful. But all He wants to do is reward me. And all He's asked me to do is to come after Him. To get into that throne of grace. It wasn't any, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four. It wasn't anything like that. The law was nailed to the cross. I know that that's been fulfilled. Just saying that in faith sends God, well, I was going to say sends Him to the moon, but the moon's nothing to Him. But you know what I'm saying. It sends Him beyond. Because it's believing in His Son and what that finished work did. That's what thrills Him, is faith. That's what thrills him, is faith. But brothers and sisters, this Lord, it means master or owner. See, we are not our own. We've been rejoicing in that. You're not your own. We try to think we are sometimes. But see, when we took Him as Savior, He bought us with His blood. That's the word redeemed. That means you've been purchased. You were bought with the most precious item, commodity there's ever been. The blood of Jesus. See, and what a privilege it is. As we say, He does want our praise. He does want our worship. But he's not asking anything of us. All it is what I want to do for you. And what I want to do for you is always in love, and it's always good. Praise God. And I'm just so thankful. And that is kind of brings us back thinking about the one faith and how people have blotched that up so much. They try to divide the body, don't they? See, faith in Christ Jesus, ye must be born again. Acts 17:31 tells us that even God gave us the faith or the assurance. Know that. See, sometimes we like to be puffed up and say, oh, I got great faith. See, Paul knew that he kept the faith because of one thing, the grace of God. That was it. I know that he is able. I know that his grace is all sufficient in all things. Always. I know that's a little backwards, but it doesn't matter how you cut it up. The result's the same. It's just beyond. As my little Evan said, it's way, Daddy, it's way. And it is. And I'm so thankful to God that it is that simple. His grace gave us the ability to believe in his Son. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's writing it. And praise God, let him write volumes. And he'll do it for you. And faith is only applied. Listen to this. Faith is only applied by one means in our lives, and that is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is it. This is faith. This is faith. This is it. Hearing this, believing this, knowing that this is God's Word. And without faith, or without the Word, there is no faith. Do you know that? You can't have it, right? Because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So where there is no Word, there is no faith. And when there is no faith, it is impossible to please God. Totally impossible. Do you see how much unbelief hurts God? It doesn't hurt him to punish. It hurts his heart for what he's given. He's given us everything. See, his love puts this together in our lives. And all he is calling out always, believe me. Believe my word. Trust me. I don't care what you're seeing out there. This is even going to be more mighty because I'm letting you see giants in the land. But I want you to see past those giants and see my promise. That land is yours. Amen. So there it is. See, and we waste our time. And a matter of fact, as I said here a minute ago, we insult God without faith. And knowing that faith is only by believing his word, it must be in and through his Son. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, we're going to have to move along. But we're into one baptism. All right? Now, this baptism, brothers and sisters, is referring to Matthew 3:11, Acts 1:5, 1 Corinthians 12:13, where we just were. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism we're talking about. The Spirit, the oneness that was completed. This baptism was a one-time event, and it was completed on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And I'm led to just go through and discuss the entirety of baptism very briefly, brothers and sisters. The Lord put this on my heart. We need to know these things. And if we know these things, we need to know them even better. But the best way to explain, I really believe, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to go back and to think about what baptism is. Now, baptism was introduced in Matthew chapter 3. It came out as John's baptism. We understood that John the Baptist was out there baptizing. And that was a baptism of repentance, wasn't it? Now, yes, baptism of repentance. And it was not the water that saved them. It wasn't the experience of getting wet that did anything for them. It was confessing their sin and believing in Jesus' blood that was to be shed for their sins. They were looking forward to that time. So there was this repentance, and they were looking forward to Jesus Christ and him dying, and that was the blood that would be shed for their sin. And in that same chapter, though, you notice that Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And sometimes people say, well, why was Jesus baptized? He's the Word. Amen? Amen. He's the Word. God in the flesh. Perfect. Why? Because he's just an amazing God. He's an amazing Savior. He was identifying with us. He was identifying with us. I mean, he could have set all this up and it still would have been good. But he became man. He became man. And that just, he became man. He would be made sin for us. The spotless lamb. That his death and his resurrection would come. And would be for all to believe. He was publicly showing that he was the one who would bear their sin. And that he was the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son of God. And as God said that day, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the dove came down, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity sitting right out there for you to see, in case you missed it. And that's just Philippians 2:7. He emptied himself. He became a man. And he would live to rely completely on the Holy Spirit, the power of his might, just as we. Now that's a God. That's a God. Amen. All right. Then there's baptism of water, which similar, but the one that we partake in now. See, we look back to that wonderful cross, don't we? Praise the Lord. And in that, it's a public outward testimony of what has occurred within. Acts 16:30, there was that Philippian jailer, wasn't there? And he said, after all that broke loose, I'll tell you what, God will bring it down. He'll shake things up to get you saved, won't he? And that precious brother was saved that day. What must I do to be saved? And I'm sure he said it a lot louder than that. What must I do to be saved? And it was so precious. Believe, believe, oh my goodness, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And isn't that wonderful? And it said, and then that night they went right down, and he and his house, and they were baptized. Praise God. And then we have the wonderful story of Philip and the eunuch. And as he expounded the scriptures to him, and there was the water that they had ridden by in that carriage. And he said, well, what would hinder me from going out here and being baptized? He said, well, nothing's going to hinder you from it, but one thing. One thing. Believest with all thine heart. Oh, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they were running out of that chariot. Get me in the water, praise God. I want to express outwardly what just happened in my heart. And that's what it is. Praise God. All right? So we get to this point of this wonderful baptism. We are crucified with him. Galatians 2:20. Down in the water and raised we live with him. Ephesians 2:4 through 6. And then finally, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Here we are. It's only mentioned once in the Word of God like that. Only one time, because it only happened once. This is not the infilling of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. And if you've accidentally used that vernacular, I know in your heart, by the grace of God, you do know better. It's just by the grace of God we need to know the Scriptures and know this Word and know what these meanings are. But it has nothing to do with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Spirit was for every child of God there ever would be on that day of Pentecost. On that day of Pentecost. It was so wonderful. There was no symbolism in that day whatsoever. There wasn't any outward expression. That day of Pentecost, us in Christ, was quickened and raised and seated together with him in the heavens. And that's your baptism with fire. Praise the Lord. That's your one baptism, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And finally, we come to one God, brothers and sisters, and one God, we'll just go back and read verse 6 here together. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So wonderful. And God in us in Christ, Jesus Christ, the fullness of God, as he said, he who has seen me, has seen the Father. I love that verse. He who has seen me has seen the Father. We're one. We are one. And there is only one God. We're going to go over here to Isaiah chapter 43. Let's read some wonderful word on this. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, here's your one God and only one God. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am." Oh, I love that. "I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Okay? One God, and that's it. There's a Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but it's one. Praise His name. All right, now let's go over to, and in case we ever thought that God was not always God, let's go over to Psalm chapter 90. And in Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, and even before that, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Now my mind just left the building because I can't comprehend that. But the one thing I can believe, that's God. God always was. Alpha, Omega. Always. Always, always. Okay. And then let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 44. I should have had you put your finger there. And let's read verse 8 together. Now, in case we think that there's going to be more gods or these types of things, we know that there's been one God. There is one God. There was only one God in the beginning. And just so He clears it up, just in case there is any confusion, that I am. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." All right. He is God. But it didn't end there, did it? And He so sweetly wants to be your Father. He wants to be your Father. Whosoever shall confess. I'm just going to quote some verses from 1 John. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. He that acknowledges the Son hath also the Father. But he that denies the Son, the same hath not the Father." Amen, amen, amen. And how intimate this Father is to us. It's beyond even the wonderful Father. And I'll say the wonderful Dad, because I did not call Him Father. He's my Dad. And what a wonderful Daddy I had. But He's much beyond that. And He means it when He says one Father. In Matthew 23:9, He tells us very clearly, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." He's the only Father, the only God to my soul. He's above all, through all, and praise God, as it says here, I'll put it this way, in us, in Christ. And that's good. That's just good. Let's stand and be dismissed.